Now it's time for the Southern Cross with Kendall Hutt.
So we are joined in studio with Kendall Hutt from the AUT Pacific Media Centre for Southern Cross. Southern Cross, not Southern Christ. My goodness. Hi, Kendall. How is everything today?
Good, thank you. How are you, Joel?
I'm doing pretty good, yeah, thank you. So in Tonga, King Tupou VI has decided to dismiss the Tongan Prime Minister Akalisi Pohiva, who was the first democratically elected Prime Minister in Tonga. Can you tell me a bit about why the Tongan King has done this?
So there's no official word yet on King Tupou VI's decision to dissolve Parliament and also dismiss PM Akalisi Pohiva. What we do know is that he has done this on the advice of the Speaker, Lord Tu Elekipa. So MPs were originally unaware of the King's decision. People in Akalisi Pohiva's office didn't know themselves. And this all came out Thursday, mainly Friday, in the mainstream press. So we're still waiting on some official word from the King and also the Speaker on what the decision was. But it is clear that Akalisi Pohiva's government has been faced by a raft of conflict. His cancellation of the 2019 Pacific Games, which Tonga was meant to be hosting. There's also allegations of controversy and incompetence and a parliament paralysed by infighting. And there's also concerns and suspicions that Akalisi Pohiva might be unwell. No news on that yet, but that is a suspicion.
Right, and what sort of implication will sort of just dissolving the government have on the Tongan people?
So a lot of people are very supportive of Akalisi Pohiva despite all of the conflict, all the controversy surrounding his government. He is very popular with the people. Obviously, he is the first Prime Minister to be elected from this democratic movement. He was a strong advocate for democracy in Tonga, and he is also a commoner as well. Obviously, Tonga is a kingdom, so it has King Tupou VI. Its parliament is also made up of democratically elected officials and also nobles.
Right, and so as I understand, the SAS has been dismissed from Tonga as well, and this is sort of a time where there's suggestions of unrest and fears of violence. Why was the decision made to dismiss the SAS from Tonga?
I think from my understanding of the Ministry of Affairs, Foreign Affairs perspective, is that it's just a precautionary measure. Obviously, the mainstream media and also people in Tonga, still there has not been any tension thus far, no violence, unrest. So it's the situation there is still a little unclear. So I think on the part of the New Zealand military, it is a precautionary measure, obviously, in these sorts of situations. You're not too sure which way it will go. We have people who don't necessarily support PM Pohiva because of all of this controversy with his government, and people who really are behind him because he's leading this democracy movement in Tonga.
So is it just to sort of remove this sort of idea of people with guns walking around whilst there's sort of a sort of no one really knows what's going on, and sort of having the SAS there might be a bit intimidating? Is that sort of the idea behind it?
I would assume so. I think it is mainly just a precautionary measure.
Yeah.
And obviously it is just coincidence that the SAS was there at the time, as Jerry Brownlee has said. I don't think anyone should read into the situation that they were there because they knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
It is even sudden for Tonga's own government that this has happened.
Right, and it's obviously quite a big decision to use your monarch power to undermine a democracy. As far as you know, does this raise any questions about the role of King Tupou as a monarch in Tonga?
People are more questioning King Tupou's the sixth decision more than any sort of questions about the place of the monarchy in Tonga and also democracy. Tongan publisher Klafi Mawala said that this is a setback for a long and fragile progress towards democracy. And this is what a lot of other commentators are also talking about as well, that this has sort of made the democracy quite fragile. that sort of thing.
Right. And so Bahiva's cabinet will stay on as caretakers, and there's rumours that Bahiva will be running for re-election in November. Do you think it's likely he'll make it back into power?
It's hard to say, but he definitely has a strong support from both the Tongan community here in New Zealand and also in Tonga. He is the man behind the democracy movement in Tonga, and he is also a commoner. And I think it's important, with Tonga being parliament between nobles and democratic elected officials, that continues. Poi Bahiva, his son, who is also his personal assistant, has announced that yes, he will be running for re-election in November, but no details outside of that have emerged.
Right. Well, moving on to the Philippines, President Rodrigo Duterte's war on drugs, which has been also labeled as a war on the poor as well. This has been an ongoing issue that has resulted in thousands of deaths over the last few years, and it has sort of polarized the Filipino population. Have there been any recent developments here?
So a recent development was sadly the death of 17-year-old Kian De Los Santos. He was allegedly murdered by police last week. Well, recently, police say that he was involved in a two-way gunfight or firefight with police, but eyewitnesses who were backed by CCTV footage say that that is not the case. He is seen already subdued by police and being led away, and we think to where he was shot and killed in an alley.
Right, and is this sort of evidence contradicting what the police say, an ongoing issue in the Philippines, war on drugs?
Yes, the war on drugs is a very controversial policy of President Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines. The policy's sort of been around for 15 months now, and it is a brutal crackdown on the drug trade. And the collateral damage here is also children and the public. Around 5,500 people have been killed. We suspect the number may be a lot more than that. It's very hard to get figures. But the development at the moment is that President Rodrigo Duterte has gone from persecuting drug dealers and the media and trying to report this to going after human rights organizations who are gathering all the data and speaking about that what President Rodrigo Duterte is doing is against human rights law, which the Philippines has signed.
Right, and why has this also been called the war on the poor?
A lot of people in the Philippines who use drugs are poor. They're also the most disadvantaged as well. So there is this belief that, if a brother, a son, a father who dies is poor, no one will notice. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And a lot of the human rights organizations are saying that this is not acceptable in any way, shape or form. It doesn't matter if this person is from one of the poorer communities in the Philippines or rich. The way that President Rodrigo Duterte is cracking down on drug users and drug dealers is wrong in any way, shape or form. It is wrong.
Right, and obviously he's not going to just win the war on drugs. Do you think there's ever going to be a change to this regime so that will bring an end to the thousands of deaths that are happening, or do you think it's just going to be ongoing as long as Duterte remains in power?
President Rodrigo Duterte is very popular. Despite his war on drugs and all of the controversy surrounding this policy, he remains very popular with the Filipino population. And this is also because he has a massive community of bloggers behind him that support Duterte, his war on drugs policy. And these people attack the mainstream media. They say that what they're reporting is fake news. This is not what is happening. And the mainstream media is effectively being silenced, and their reporting is being undermined by these pro-Duterte, pro-drug war bloggers.
So because of this media, there's no sort of end in sight, really?
There's definitely a media divide in the Philippines, and until such time as the mainstream media is able to regain its credibility, not that its credibility has disappeared at all, this is all the fault of pro-Duterte bloggers, but if the mainstream media is able to capture this debate and get through that this is wrong, then I think, even more so than it is now, then I think that the tide might turn in their favour. But if human rights organisations, the mainstream press, can't stop Duterte, then...
Well, kia ora, Kendall. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. That's all we have time for.
Thank you.
That was Kendall Hutt for Southern Cross.
That was the Southern Cross.